Doug Erickson, state senator from Whatcom County. You have heard about the disorder in Olympia, and of course you've seen the chaos back in the nation's capital. What say you?
Hey, John. I say it's a tough country right now, and we have to remember what Ronald Reagan said, our great president, that our freedoms and liberties are not guaranteed, you know, and we're always one generation away from extinction, and we have to guard them and pass them on to the next one. So we're coming to a difficult place in this country, and actions like storming the Capitol or trying to climb fences and commit acts of violence is never acceptable. But we do need to push back against certain things that are happening, both in Washington, D.C., or in Washington State. So violence is not the answer, but an organized effort to push back and provide people an alternative is needed, both here and in Washington, D.C. at the moment.
So what do you say going forward? Because right now, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that they didn't just lose an election, but we're losing our form of government.
And that's an interesting one.
Yeah. And they say, you know, that what you're seeing is desperation to try and keep not just an election from being stolen, but to keep democracy from being usurped.
Yeah, I would, you know, tend to agree that the election system that we have in place right now due to the COVID-19 response was extremely flawed. And I think that everybody would agree that they're was dysfunction in the electoral system, particularly in the key swing states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. Was there fraud? I think there definitely was. How widespread and how organized was it? You know, we don't know. That's why we should have investigated it. But there are definitely problems. But, you know, there's a author I had to read when I was getting my graduate degree. His name was E.E. Schatzschneider. Had a book called The Semi-Sovereign People. And he's one of those more of a socialist type educated college professor type person. But he said when you start a street fight, you have to be very careful because you don't know who's going to show up. And whether it's the Democrats starting the street fights with their Antifa movement or whether it's Republicans with the Trump thing, you have to be very careful about who shows up to those street fights, and you have to contain it and control it. In Washington, D.C., I don't think we'll ever know who was actually committing the violence. Were those people organized by leftist opposition groups to come in and incite violence and lead those people into the Capitol? That needs to be investigated. We need to find out.
Well, I think all of the above. You know, I think that there were radical leftists who infiltrated the march because why not? Your chance to commit mayhem, your chance to make the pro-Trump people look bad, of course. Now, there's a difference between being involved or infiltrating and being the instigator. Because if you look at the videos that I have seen, there's a few where you wonder whether that person is a Trump supporter or whether that person is a faux Trump supporter. But there's others that clearly appear to me. These are just Trump people who reached the breaking point and stepped over the line.
Oh, I think definitely if you're in a situation like that with a mass crowd, with a lot of emotion and somebody leads and opens the doors and people are going to filter in. Definitely. So we need to find out the answers to those things. But one other thing, John, here in Washington State is at a time like this, obviously tensions are high. And one of my great frustrations is when we are in this situation, the COVID-19 response has businesses going out, people are at the end of their rope, they're losing their life savings, they're losing their small business. And now the Democrats have a legislative session scheduled to start on Monday that locks the public out of the process. And I think that is another thing that pours fuel on the fire when people see that. So I think the Democrats should step back, say that during this upcoming session, we should just meet for 30 days, emergency session, deal with COVID-19 response, and do nothing else. And that should be the message we should send in terms of what we're going to do.
I think that's perfect because instead the Democrats are doing precisely the opposite. They're saying, hey, let's get our most controversial items that would probably die under the light of day if you know, people were aware that we were trying to impose an income tax, that we were trying to raise the price of gasoline 57 cents a gallon in the name of fighting global warming. Let's use the pandemic as an excuse to have a virtual session, and we'll just push all this stuff through you know, virtually, because once the pandemic is over, you know, the laws remain in place.
It's so true. So just yesterday, I think it was the Association of Washington Business, which is an umbrella organization that represents companies all the way from Microsoft to your local neighborhood deli. They sent a letter to the legislature saying that the system put in place is unfair. It's going to lock out the public process. But what's key in their letter, and this isn't Doug Erickson saying it, this is this umbrella business organization that represents liberals, conservatives, independents, Greens, yeah. Everybody's a member of this. Their letter says that Washington State is the only state in the union that has such draconian restrictions on the public ability to participate with the complete lockout of the public from the process. California, Oregon, Idaho are not doing it the way Washington State is. So we can find no other examples of this type of draconian control and lockout of the public during a legislative session anywhere else in the country.
So if that's the case, that makes an argument that this is an illegitimate session. It might be legally authorized, even legally required, to meet in session, but not this way for this purpose. What are your options?
Well, on Monday, I have a what's called Senate Concurrent Resolution 8400 that I'll be introducing. And even though the Democrats are saying I might not be allowed on the Senate floor as a senator to represent my district, I will be on the Senate floor. And they can arrest me if they want, but I'll be making a motion to adopt SCR 8400. And what this does, it immediately adjourns the regular session and then immediately calls for a 30-day emergency session to deal solely with COVID. And not to get too far in the weeds, but when the legislature calls themselves back into a special session, you have to specifically state in the articles of mm-hmm. the special session what you
the
will
purpose.
Deal with. And my purpose, I say clearly in 8400, is to deal only with COVID-19 response issues to help out the people who have been harmed. And then once we get this under control, which I think we already have, we can come back in August or September and have a regular session when the public can participate.
What would happen if the Republicans just turned and took a walk?
Yeah, unfortunately, in Washington State, our Constitution, our laws say you just need 25 people on the floor to be able to pass a bill in the Senate. And if the Republicans did not show up, the Democrats could still convene their session, whether remotely or in person, and pass whatever they want. So that's our dilemma in terms of our limited ability to be able to impact the system like that. We can't take off,
okay.
You know, go to Idaho and hang out at a hotel over there just across the line.
And you can't filibuster.
And block the session.
And you can't filibuster.
No, very difficult to filibuster in Washington State. You know, they can always change the rules. You know, in the legislative process, John, I've been doing it for a while, as you know, but there's a saying in Olympia, you can do whatever you want as long as nobody objects. But if somebody does object, you can still do it as long as you have the votes. So
people are objecting.
The Democrats are saying they have the votes.
Okay, what should our listeners do when the session starts next week?
Well, I think first thing is support my concurrent resolution 8400. I think that they should peacefully make their voice known to the legislature that you can't be doing these types of massive pieces of legislation when the public is locked out and a deal with the COVID-19 response. People are being destroyed right now by the COVID-19 response. And I've had tearful conversations with so many people that brings me to tears, how they're being destroyed and how their lives are being completely killed. And I understand COVID-19 is real, and I have to say this every time I talk about it, take proper precautions if you're at risk. But at the same time, what with the harm and the drug abuse and the alcoholism and the suicides that are happening because of the response needs to be dealt with, and the legislature has to show that we're hearing the public on this, that we understand, and we have to deal with that first and not these other social justice issues and defunding police and all these other things that the Democrats are putting on the table, releasing felons from prison, allowing felons to vote from prison. The agenda is rather radical. Deal with COVID-19 response, and then we can deal with the other things in August when the public can actually participate.
The other thing I think you guys should do in the state Senate and state House is establish the narrative day in, day out, several times a day. Say it over and over and over again, every press release that goes out. The Democratic majority is engaged in a concerted effort to turn the Washington legislature into a statewide Seattle City Council.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you talk about one of their bills, like letting felons out of prison, this is another example of how they're trying to turn the Senate into the Seattle City Council. Capital gains income tax, another example of how radical they've become. They've turned the Senate into a statewide Seattle City Council over and over and over again. It'll drive them nuts, and they'll be furious about it, but it has the added virtue of being true.
Yeah, and we can run on that agenda, you know, and you know, John, that Republicans for many years have run on a bit of a we don't want to become Seattle agenda, and it hasn't worked the best, to be honest with you. And we have to be careful how we message it, because I don't hate Seattle. I loved going down to Mariners games and Seahawks
games. That's what I said.
I love the
city
economic
council.
Opportunities. Yeah, against the city council, and we have to be careful how we do that, and I agree with what you're saying. We just have to be careful how we message it and then combine it with, you've always said, a positive agenda about what we can do to change the direction.
Doug Erickson, appreciate you being with me here today, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Looking forward to talking often this next session of the legislature, and I hope it is a 30-day session, because I think you've got it exactly right.
Yep. Thanks, John, and we'll keep the peaceful efforts up to make sure we bring justice to this legislative process.